Natural disasters and national emergencies can strike anywhere and anytime, with little or no warning, leaving chaos and destruction in their wake. But amidst the devastation is a beacon of hope and a symbol of unwavering support, the Red Castle of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
We always live kind of in disbelief that it's not going to happen to us.
We're protecting American citizens. We're giving them the tools to help them protect themselves.
When you are affected by a disaster, it can be very traumatizing.
Our sole intent is to get folks back to their pre-disaster way of life.
Welcome to Corps Chronicles, Stories from the Heartland, where we bring you the history of the Kansas City District, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. This month, we'll learn about the vital role our district plays in disaster readiness, response, and recovery. Join us as we explore the incredible stories of the unsung heroes who stand ready to step in and help, no matter where or when disaster strikes.
I'm Jed Knieven. I'm the Chief of Readiness and Contingency Operations here for the Kansas City District.
My name is Rick Wexelbaum. I'm an Emergency Management Specialist with the Kansas City District Corps of Engineers, and I'm responsible for the National Emergency Preparedness Program.
Mike Doolin, Emergency Management Specialist with the Kansas City District Corps of Engineers. I'm the Flood Control and Coastal Emergencies Program Manager.
Diana McCoy, I'm the Chief of Public Affairs for the Kansas City District. Prior to coming into this role, I was an emergency management specialist in our Readiness and Contingency Operations Office.
My name is Vira Dobbins. My position was emergency management specialist.
My name is Marjorie DeBrott, and when I started in emergency management, I was the natural disaster program manager. And at a later time, I became the chief of emergency management in Kansas City District.
September 11th, 2001, changed the world in ways many never thought possible. The events of that day left the nation reeling for weeks, months, and years. But from those tragic events, there have emerged glimpses of meaningful, positive change. One meaningful, positive change is the role that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has since played in protecting our nation's homeland security. Not only did USA send volunteers on the day of the attacks to help evacuate people from harm's way, but they also helped install temporary power and critical facilities in New York City and developed a debris management plan for cleaning up Ground Zero.
In the instance of 9/11, there was a huge debris mission associated with that because of the Twin Towers that were destroyed.
Among the hundreds of USAFE employees who volunteered to help the recovery mission after September 11th was one of the Kansas City District's own. Her name is Vira Dobbins.
My name is Vira Dobbins, and I deployed to 9/11.
Vira Dobbins, she was up there for quite a while. And it was one of the pivotal moments in her life, being present to support the recovery efforts up there.
Vira started in the Kansas City District in the late 70s, and after over 30 years in the district, she retired as an emergency management specialist in the district's Readiness and Contingency Operations Office. Although Vira wasn't yet working as an emergency management specialist on September 11th, she still felt compelled to volunteer her time and skills after seeing the destruction caused by the attacks.
I deployed before I went down to emergency management. A week after 9/11, we flew into D.C. because that's where we were going to be. And they didn't need us there, so we got a rental car and drove to New York.
After arriving at Ground Zero, Vira recalls the atmosphere of downtown New York City.
It was unbelievable. I can remember when we drove in the first morning, it reminded you of a movie set, which I know sounds crazy, but it just was so bizarre seeing the buildings and the firefighters and everybody. It was unbelievable. And we were there to assist FEMA, which was supporting the fire department. So while we were there, we ran errands for the fire department. I entered information into the battalion commander's notebook on what they pulled out of the buildings and then set up a spreadsheet so that they could track it. And I was there a little over 3 weeks. I think I was the last of my team to leave to come back to Kansas City.
Marge DeBrott, who started her career with the Kansas City District as an emergency management specialist, was working for USAFE's headquarters on September 11th, 2001. She was called to Washington, D.C. to help with the response after that day.
Driving into Washington, D.C. from Kansas City and over every bridge down, when I was going down I-70 and stuff, over every bridge all the way into D.C., someone had hung American flags on every bridge overpass. It was just kind of eerie. My job, working for headquarters, I was the Corps of Engineers FEMA liaison. I was the conduit, the voice between the Corps and FEMA on what we could do to help them.
A couple years later, Marge was tasked with helping to rewrite the National Response Plan.
The National Response Plan, and that was following 9/11, and they pulled together three people, one from FEMA, the Corps provided me, and there was an individual from the Coast Guard, and they put us three people in a room with direction from the president, you know, the White House, on things, because there had been a whole group of people that sorted through all the lessons learned from 9/11 and all that. So we were supposed to develop a comprehensive plan. We were the drafters, and it took a long time. We were mandated. We would write the draft. We would send it out for everybody to review. We had over 10,000 comments come back. We had to address every single comment. The goal was to accept and incorporate as many of the recommendations as we could. So then we'd incorporate everything, send it back out again.
Marge's work on the National Response Plan would eventually lead to what the federal government uses in the event of a disaster today, the National Response Framework. Although the work was difficult, it was direly important in outlining how the nation would respond to future emergencies and disasters.
There was so much duplication within the government. There were certain agencies that disliked each other immensely. And our job was to negotiate between the when they were arguing over, you know, no, this is my responsibility, no, that's their responsibility, try to negotiate who would take the lead. The negotiation and the implementation of this plan was harder than the actual writing of the plan.
Thanks to Marge's hard work, after September 11th, all federal agencies now work together under the direction of the National Response Framework to respond to national emergencies and natural disasters. After her time in New York City, Vibra Dobbins would later become an emergency management specialist in the Kansas City District's Readiness and Contingency Operations Office and would work as the district's deployment coordinator. Although she was no longer at Ground Zero, Vibra would continue to support the United States overseas operations, which existed only because of the terrorist attacks on September 11th.
Prior to September 11th, there was no need to deploy people overseas in support of the global war on terror or overseas contingency operations.
After the events of September 11th, the United States entered the global war on terrorism overseas. As the wars progressed, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was tasked with supporting the nation's warfighting by providing technical engineering and construction support overseas.
Support to the warfighter for us is really when we talk OCONUS situations. So when we were in Iraq and Afghanistan, we were responsible for assisting volunteers to deploy into those theaters to support the warfighter on the ground. And not only did we help in building installations to protect the warfighter and to protect outposts, forward operating bases, but we were also heavily involved in the reconstruction. So infrastructure, particularly power, and then schools and hospitals and things like that.
As the district's deployment coordinator, Vibra recruited staff and provided logistical support to the Kansas City District employees who had volunteered to serve overseas.
I tried to get as many district employees involved as I could for deployment so that they could see what goes on outside of Kansas City.
But her favorite part of the job was connecting the deployed employees with their families back stateside.
You know, we'd have to get them ready, and then they would go off for training for a couple of weeks before they were deployed. But the best part I found was that I got to do video conference calls with them. So I would arrange to have their families come in to the EOC, and we always kept our fingers crossed that we would get a connection. But we would then call in, and I would leave them in the conference room so that they could actually see their family member, because just talking to them isn't quite the same as seeing them.
Vibra retired in 2014. Her successor, Diana McCoy, would also play an important role in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' support to the global war on terror as she took over the duties as the district's deployment coordinator.
Deploying employees to the overseas contingency operations going on in Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, in the Middle East area. And so that was a large part of my job, was identifying volunteers for deployment, making sure that they had all of their paperwork in place, all of their medical stuff checked off, and getting them ready to deploy, and then providing support for them while they were deployed, and not only to them, but also to their family members.
Although the global war on terror has ended, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers still deploys employees on a volunteer basis overseas to support the nation's warfighting.
The Corps has some of the FEST teams, the forward engineering support teams, and we have personnel here in Kansas City that will volunteer to be on those occasionally, and they're available to the active duty units overseas, that if they need some type of additional engineering support, those FEST teams can be brought in to provide that.
But deployments of USACE employees are not limited to overseas support of the nation's warfighter. The terrorist attacks in 2001 also exposed the need for more robust disaster planning nationwide. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has since retooled its emergency response efforts to address new challenges and to build the capability to sustain longer response campaigns. Like Thyra Dobbins, today, employees volunteer to deploy all across the United States to assist with disaster and emergency response and recovery. The Kansas City District is well known across the enterprise for sending volunteers to help after a disaster.
We are an all-hazards response district. Our district provides volunteers to deploy to those areas in support of those districts that need help.
Unfortunately, one of the challenges facing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is finding enough employees to volunteer. As natural disasters become larger, more extreme, cause more extensive damage, and become more frequent, the need for volunteers has increased.
Our teams are going out more frequently, and then some of them are going out for a very long period of time. We always live kind of in disbelief that it's not going to happen to us, right? We're not going to be affected by flooding. We'd never be affected by a wildfire, be stuck in a blizzard, something like that. But it's the reality is that even with low probability events, at some point in the future, most of us are going to be impacted at some point by some type of disaster.
For the Readiness and Contingency Operations Team at the Kansas City District, the need for solutions to mitigate damage from natural disasters is of the utmost importance.
We're very fortunate in this country because we've not seen our loss of life grow compared to other countries around the world. But it's not to say that it can't happen in this country. There are still scenarios where we could see a great loss of life. Disasters are, they don't get cheaper. The impacts growing in dollars, they're growing. The losses continue to grow nationwide. So, you know, we have to look at better at how we mitigate disasters so that in the future they don't cost as much or they don't create as many losses. But, you know, really what's at stake are lives and then economic losses. And we've seen over the last two decades, we've watched those economic losses continue to grow.
When Vira Dobbins worked the recovery mission at Ground Zero in New York City after September 11th, she saw just how high the stakes can be firsthand. But she also saw that among the destruction and devastation, our nation's enemies could not destroy the best of our humanity.
They were just very thankful. And New York came together, and watching the firefighters was just unbelievable because they're such a tight-knit family, you know, because their uncles and brothers and everybody are part of the fire department, and they would be there when they weren't going to funerals from their friends that had perished in the event. You know, everybody always talks about how awful people are from New York and rude and everything. We were working 12-hour days, and when we would leave, there would be people lined up on the route that we took back to the hotel that had signs thanking us for being there. Any place I went, because I'd usually stop and get something to eat before I went back to the hotel, people were so nice. You know, and here we were grungy from all of the dust and everything, and they were just very nice.
Thank you for listening to Corps Chronicles, Stories from the Heartland. We hope you learned something new today. Tune in next week to hear the next episode.